Hey, Renu.
Hello, Declan. Good to be back.
Welcome back from AskGoGU.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Always wonderful to get back to San Francisco where I did my fellowship.
Of course.
But it's always a great meeting, AskGoGU, one of my favorite cancer meetings. Got to connect with a lot of colleagues and friends around the world. It was great data that came out.
Some good stuff there.
Controversial data that came out. Yeah. It was good.
So we're going to dive into it, I think. Yeah, you did manage to do some interviews.
Scored some interviews. It was, it was good. Lots of great photos and video footage. So we'll hopefully push that out.
We'll get that edited over the next few days and push it out next week for you as well. AskGoGU, the GU cast take on things.
Yes, and it was a particularly special one because it was convened by Todd Morgan, urologist. The whole committee did a great job.
I remember the first AskGoGU I went to a few years ago it must have been 90% non-urology, mostly medical oncology, some radiation, but it's changing, isn't it?
They've really
gone to a lot of effort to make surgeons more interested, and it's a great, really, really, really great meeting. So
absolutely. Coming soon.
Coming soon. That's great. So that's coming up. But today we have a completely different focus, actually. So
very exciting.
It's very exciting. So we're welcoming back a person we've worked with for years and years, Victoria Cullen, who runs an amazing resource for men and their loved ones who are on a journey after prostate cancer treatment. And it's called atouchysubject.com. You can just search it very, very easily. So what we want to do today is have a chat with Victoria about atouchysubject.com. The background will be that, of course, we know that erectile dysfunction, sexual dysfunction is unfortunately a huge part of the experience for very many men and their loved ones after what otherwise might be deemed successful prostate cancer treatment, whether that's surgery or some form of radiotherapy. And whilst the oncology outcome might be very good, generally speaking, urinary outcomes can be very, very good. Unfortunately, despite all the advances and expert centers and good technology, high volume surgeons, et cetera, et cetera, unfortunately, the sexual function dysfunction consequences can be very significant. We all know that me as a full-time prostate cancer surgeon, you as a full-time GU.
And I think the thing that makes it worse is that the conversation surrounding sexual dysfunction is seen as taboo still by many men, by many doctors. And I think what's special about Victoria is she normalizes it.
She sure does. And her perspective is very different to what we might traditionally have had in clinics when I was growing up, a focus on drugs like PDE5 inhibitors or Cavriject type injections and so on. And so what we really want to do today is indulge ourselves in her world, in the world of a touchy subject, and have a chat with Victoria. So Victoria,
that's right.
You're very welcome.
Feel very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. And you know, Victoria, Declan and I, we often introduce you as an intimacy specialist, but maybe you could tell the audience about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I say in a summary, I specialize in sexuality education, very specifically for men and their loved ones who are going through the aftermath of prostate cancer treatment. So a touchy subject right now is a YouTube channel that connects to a free online program that I have that gives men the principles of what is happening to them when they are experiencing erectile dysfunction and other sexual function changes after treatment, the principles of what's happening there. And then once we have that solid understanding, then we can play around with the options, the ideas, and keep, oh my goodness, I'm going to start with the puns, injecting a bit more fun and pleasure back into the process.
Fantastic. And how long have you been in this field, and how did you get into it? How did you become interested?
Renew. It's actually been about 10 years now. Wow. About 10 years ago, I started to...
That means I know you for that long.
It does. It does mean happy decade anniversary of our friendship. And you. 10 years ago, I started to speak to men who had gone through prostate cancer treatment, and I just felt this intense need for, firstly, just some good, like you said, normalizing conversation about what they were going through. And then on top of that, what can I actually do? You know, is this just my life now? Are there some ways that I can still engage sexually with myself, with my partner, even while I have erectile dysfunction? If that never changes, what are we going to do? I felt there were such huge questions that needed, I even just started thinking, well, if I could just have a good conversation and introduce them to even just some sort of even better lubricant to start with. It was just noticing how much of a big difference it could make when just the smallest things started to work. And that's still my mission, really. It's to help people have a better time, essentially, with their sexual recovery journey earlier on in the process.
I remember listening to you speak about this before, and I often still talk about this, that Victoria often talks about the journey after prostate cancer treatment, navigating this journey. And for us urologists who often focus on things like restoring rigidity and having penetration, traditional ways in which we think about relationships, or indeed traditional ways in which couples have experienced relationships beforehand, you got me thinking more about the idea of intimacy and orgasm, understanding that rigidity and penetration are often very difficult or eventually impossible for people. And if our focus, which I think that is a lot of our focus, you know, we can get rigidity, we'll do nerve sparing, but that won't work. And so we're going to do injections or this or that. But it's often very soulless and unfulfilling. So I recall you saying it's a journey. So first of all, it's not a thing. It's going to be all going on for some years. And if the focus is more on intimacy and orgasm, especially from the get-go, and defocus the, okay, we'll get the rigidity and penetration thing, then it can be a lot more fulfilling for people. Is that still a way in which you talk about the journey?
Do you know what's interesting, Declan? I'm now much more of a why not both approach.
Yeah.
Why not both? Especially the more conversations I have with men, an erection is really important. It really is. And I also have men where they get the erection back and go, it still doesn't feel right though. I've lost orgasm, I've lost sensation. So I now think, let's just talk about it all. Let's make sure that there are ways that they can achieve an erection when they want. That's also so good for, of course, the blood flow to keep the penile tissue architecture in great condition to give them the highest potential for regaining function when hopefully those nerves can recover. But then at the same time, we need to talk about pleasure and sensation as much as we do on rigidity. I think they both can exist and they both weave in and out of each other. You know, having pleasure will probably be more likely to help actually essentially make that phone call from upstairs to downstairs to incite any natural function that is returning. So it's sort of one of those, they don't live apart, they live so closely together. And yeah, I think we should always talk about all of it and always just keep coming back to, well, what's important to the patient sitting in front of you? You can ask that, you know, talk to me about what it means to you now that you have lost your erection. There are still some men who will say, I'm actually not bothered. I'm okay. But what I do miss is pleasure with my partner. What I miss is feeling I can give pleasure to my partner. So that makes more sense to be the focus with them. But if somebody sits across you and says, honestly, I need to have an erection, that I feel completely beside myself, not knowing whether I'm going to be able to ever have one of these ever again, then it makes sense for the focus there to actually be rigidity. So I think it still all comes back to, like Zach, you said, it's a journey and every single person is different. So,
I think that's key, isn't it? And it's such a multifaceted thing. It's not it's not one dimensional at all, is it? And
No, not at all.
There's I think the other message is that there's something for everyone. I mean, even if the end result might not be sexual intercourse, like you said, it could be pleasure, it could be masturbation if you don't have a partner, or if you do have a partner, that could still be part of the process. You know, I think these are concepts that should really be normalized so that you can really seek out what is important to each man.
Absolutely. That's so well said, Renu. And I really want to normalize that there are a lot of options on the table. I think I still have men who email me and say, well, about 10 years ago when I had my surgery, I was told it was Viagra or nothing. So they tried Viagra straight after surgery, didn't work. And they thought, well, that's it then. Because they'd had that mindset that it's just this one pathway when there are so many things you can try. And even within the PDE5 option, there's so many ways you can even optimize that experience when you have an understanding of how that drug is working in the background. So I think it's that mix of good education on what's happened, why, then opens up the mind on what you can do. So then on top of that, thinking of it more as, well, here's your second honeymoon.
Yeah.
Maybe your first. Exactly. It's an opportunity to discover more about your sexuality and your partner's
opportunity. I like that. Yeah.
And so, yes, understanding. And I think we have a lot to learn as clinicians about managing patients' expectations and using language and all that. But there are resources. There are things. So this is where we really want to focus on a touchy subject, because you've set up this superb resource between the main website and your YouTube channel, which is amazing. And when I direct patients, as I do every day of the week, patients before surgery, usually, or sometimes after, towards a touchy subject, and I'll say, when you first go on, a screen will pop up to say, put in your email, I'm on your list. I get these great email letters and videos every week or so. But do you want to talk us through some of the resource, the online resource, and of course the physical resources that you're a real expert in, some of the toys and so on that you use.
Yes,
absolutely. So in terms of where to start with online resources, if you head to a touchy subject, the best place to begin is with my free online program. It's 6 emails, so you get an email each day to just handhold you through essentially what is now actually quite an overwhelming number of resources that I have on the website. So so it's sort of six steps to help you really understand the foundation of, oh right, that's why my body is doing this. And we even cover arousal incontinence, which some people don't even realize sometimes they think they're the only one experiencing that. So to first note, help people know you're not alone, there is hope. I pepper it also with success stories from the audience and explain what progress can look like in this realm. Then something I've ended up specializing in, and this is where a touchy subject really began, was helping people find the right products for them and exactly how to use them to get the best out of them. And so especially the YouTube channel, there's a plethora of videos to talk people through troubleshooting toys that might not be working for them. So for example, the pump.
This is where I'm really hoping that our audience will look at the video version, because we can see Victoria's little red goodie bag.
Yeah. And, if you're watching on YouTube, can you see over there down beside Victoria?
Cool.
She's got this red suitcase.
She's like a magician pulling tricks.
I'm trying to do my best magician's assistant displaying of the prop right now.
Fantastic.
So it's worth, if you're listening to this while you're out for a jog or whatever, on the way, file it away, watch the YouTube video tonight, because we've got a great show and tell coming up. But you've got that red suitcase that I recall you used to walk on stage when I remember the youth meeting.
Yes, absolutely.
And then what's she got in the suitcase? And I remember you coming into the cancer, into Peter Mac one morning for a 7 a.m. meeting, our multidisciplinary meeting, and you were going to talk about all this, and you had the suitcase, and what's she going to? I knew what you were going to pull out of the suitcase, but oh my God, it's 7 o'clock on a Thursday morning. What the hell is that thing?
I do.
Male vibrators, the whole lot, buzzing things getting passed around the audience. But anyway, tune in, because Victoria now is going to talk us through some of the really good toys.
Vacurex.
So what do we got here? Yeah.
It is indeed. Yes. So this is what I'm holding right now, the Vacurect. So, and a lot of people might look at this and not realize at first that this is a penis pump. When we think penis pump, still, I think people think the scene from Austin Powers, it's not mine, baby, it's not mine. So and that was one of the first reasons I got so, I'd almost say obsessed with what men were going through, was that I was working at Passion Fruit. It's an incredible sensuality boutique. In Melbourne, Australia. Yes. I was off the back of my behavioural sciences master's, and my psychology undergrad.
I'll stop you for a second, because that's how we got to know you, I think.
Yes.
You
were,
you're a psychologist by training, but you work in one of the sex shops, or you were working in one of our sex shops in Richmond near our
We used to refer patients to that.
All the time.
Oh, yeah, Passion Fruit. I was just trying to think of the name.
It's very good. Yes. And I went down there, a couple of times, and I'd be chatting to the staff, and they said, oh, yeah, you're Declan, you send your patients down here. And that's how I met you in that shop. So
the shop still exists. It's now in Fitzroy.
Yeah,
and it's still an incredible environment.
And
they've created a very safe space to go and talk about sexuality.
Yeah.
So that's what drew me there, because I knew that I was so fascinated in sexual health and really design of sexual health services and products. I started to work on the sex shop floor and part-time just to be able to have conversations one-on-one and really get an understanding of what's drawing people here. At the same time, I was running actually the world's first sex toy design course. Co-running with Dr. Judith Blother at RMIT University. Yeah. And through both those experiences, I started to realize so many people are approaching a sex shop environment in order to find help with sexual health and sexual function changes and challenges. And so the people who I met that really stuck with me were the prostate cancer men and their partners, because when it came, they would see a urologist and get an idea of, well, maybe a pump could help, walk down the road to the sex shop. But even I thought, well, I don't even myself have at this point any training in what to recommend with this. And it was very clear that what was commercially often being sold as a pump was not actually suitable to the type of erectile dysfunction that men post, especially prostate surgery, were immediately encountering. So I started this whole, really, actually, I started a PhD research mission on finding, well, what are the actual best products that are most suited, and what information do men need to get the best success out of them? Through, honestly, just contacting, I think, every pump company in the world. The one that really stood out to me as this is true innovation is the Vacurect. It is extremely discreet. It's extremely lightweight. There's no big, bulky battery component. You can take this into the shower with you. Yeah. Again, you can get through airport security easily and just say you're releasing a cork from a wine bottle. It's that kind of device. If they stop Love you, it. They never have stopped me. Maybe also is how innocuous my Paddington Bear bag is. They think, oh, that's nice and innocent. And I see a little raised eyebrow as it goes through hand luggage, but I've never been searched. They see this all day long. They really do. So wow. Anybody out there's wondering, how do I travel with that though? You won't get searched.
Easy to travel.
Very easy.
Because on the pump thing, Victoria, so we've known for ages that, for example, using PDE5 inhibitors like Viagra or Cialis is one of the important tools we have. And so we get on board very early with these drugs. That's one component. And I always say to patients, a second component is this device, the vacuum erection device that's been around for years and years, way before we had Viagra and so on. So before we sort of got into your environment, what tended to happen was, you know, we'd say to a patient, you can get this down in one of the sex shops, like, for example, Passion Fruit down the street, or, you know, everyone has them nearby or whatever. But there tends to be that sense, well, I haven't been in one of those places before. It's for the long Macintosh type thing and blah, blah. Go in and there's the, oh my God, look at these devices. And then, well, there's the really cheap one and there's the really expensive one and there's the one in the middle. It's like buying an air fryer, as I often say. So you get the one in the middle then, don't you? Yeah. But that's often like you've spent a few $100 on this thing and it's fiddly and it doesn't work or whatever. But that's how you make your choice, like a lot of other things in consumer land. So it's one of my key messages to people is, you know, go and learn about that and go on to somewhere like a touchy subject where there's a whole section on pumps and resources. And I know you pretty much always will recommend the Vacurect from your long experience of, you know, tried and tested people trying these things and failing. But can you please, for people who know nothing about this, explain, well, how does it work? And what's this about cock rings and all that sort of business? You know, because this is one of the areas I see of a lot of frustration for patients. And you have specific videos on your YouTube about rings and lubes and so on. But can you
And instructional videos on how to use it.
Yeah.
Which are great, which are fantastic resources.
They are.
That's it. Look, it can be a real going down the rabbit hole. How much time have you got? We'll start speaking and you just tell me where to start. In the show notes,
we'll direct you towards some of this, but we'll get a little quick run through from Victoria about Vacurect. What do you say to men?
Absolutely, Declan. Well, actually, firstly, I do have a video talking through choosing pumps, because while I've seen just so much success with the Vacurect, especially when other pumps haven't worked, and it is more that mid sort of price range option. If somebody did just want to use a pump just for rehabilitation only and weren't concerned about maintaining the erection afterwards, there are some other options that may suit them better and could be a lower price point. But if somebody out there is thinking, yes, I want to do daily or at least, you know, 2 to 3 times a week type rehabilitation in order to just keep that penile tissue in really good condition while I'm not having nocturnal erections. I may be getting a bit ahead of myself here. The pump, essentially, I see it as a piece of gym equipment. Yeah. You know, when you've, especially, so let's use the case study of a prostatectomy. After prostate surgery, those cavernous nerves around the prostate have been preserved, or you're in that stage of wondering, yeah, I think a lot preserved, but we really just, it is just time will tell.
Yeah, and they're not working, do
they? They won't be, yeah, but if light and heat of surgery alone, very sensitive, they're in that traumatized state. During that time, not only will, essentially it is that phone call from upstairs to downstairs, there's a disconnect in the phone line, but so you're not getting arousal-induced erections, but you're also not getting nocturnal erections. So everybody has these, even women. We have, you know, the clitoris engorges as well as, it's all erectile tissue. Erectile tissue will engorge during the night. It sort of depends, but maybe let's say like 3 to 6 times a night. So with something like a penis pump, it is a way of essentially reproducing those nocturnal erections so that you know, essentially, your penis has gone for a jog. You've taken it to the gym. Usually you wouldn't have to. It's doing that at night. But you're overtaking that process and saying, okay, let's make sure that this, essentially I call it the penile architecture, the tissue is kept in as good condition as possible by introducing even just stretch every day. So as you know, a lot of men post-prostate surgery, they'll experience some shrinkage, and that can exacerbate over time, again, if they're not really stretching out the organ. You've got to just keep that stretch. We could essentially take it for a walk around the park. So that's what the pump is doing. It's really just mimicking the hydraulic event that is the erection of blood flowing in and then flowing back out again.
And so the men put it over the head of the penis?
Absolutely. So for the Vacurect in particular, I'd say one resource that's the absolute best place to go and understand this, because the English language can fail us in really imagining what we're supposed to imagine. I do have some demonstration videos that are live. They've been donated by gentlemen in the audience. So you can see somebody who's in a similar situation as you are, genuinely use the device and they talk over the top of how they've tweaked it. Often a MacGyvering comes in, a MacGyvering mind mindset helps you a lot when it comes to figuring out any new product. With the VacCorrect in particular, what you do is actually just place the tip of the penis. And for those who are just listening, not watching, what I've got here is essentially it's a cylinder shape that has a what we'd call a sort of a pump sleeve over the top that it's very intuitive motion, I say, pumps up and down. And what you have at the bottom is a silicone ring that also acts as an opening, a seal. And this is where this is so innovative because it cuts out a lot of the steps that other pumps have. Other pumps, you would need a separate opening and then a ring that you have to put over the opening. And then you have to sort of fiddle about with getting the ring onto the penis after you've created an erection in the cylinder. Whereas the VacCorrect circumvents all that process. Yeah.
Are there different sizes, Victoria, or is it one size fits all?
Now, with the VacCorrect cylinder, at the moment, it is just one size. Okay. So I do recommend men who've kind of always known they were on the bigger size. The cylinder is something you do want to look at the measurements of before you invest. Yeah. But it sort of tends to fit most men, especially if you've experienced some shrinkage after surgery. It's actually going to be a better size because you're not going to risk testicle suck up, which those, yeah, we all go.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And men out there who know, they know. And yeah, it means that, and also size wise.
Testicle suck up.
Can't
hear it now.
It is something that, unfortunately, that exactly, you want to know about that before you invest and have a go with one of these. Yeah. The VacCorrect circumvents a lot of that though by having the seal also as the ring structure. And so size wise, actually it comes with where you can buy 5 or 10 different ring / opening sizes.
Yep.
And the method is then actually quite simple. It's almost a sort of a 2 steps to erection. You lubricate your whole penis, especially the head of the penis. And you just need to actually rest the penile head inside the ring opening. Mm-hmm. And then as you remove air by pumping the sleeve, so just one pump, and then you'd leave a bit of time just to allow that blood flow to catch up with the pressure change. And then you'll see an erection start to form the cylinder. Obviously, at this point, I see it here from men. It's a bit frustrating. So you're thinking, I can see it there, but I can't touch it. It's like it's in a mausoleum kind of thing. I need to get to it. When the ring is, or you can use 2 different types of ring. If you're using this just for rehabilitation to bring blood in and then just take it out again, walk around the park, you just use the largest or one of the larger ring openings, whatever's comfortable against the body, whatever creates a good seal. So you're not losing air. And then you could just take the cylinder off and the erection goes down. You can cycle, so pump again. But if you want to keep that erection around, this is where it almost is a bit like magic. You just use a tighter ring. Once the erection is created, you remove the cylinder and that's hey presto.
Wow.
It remains.
So
Then getting the ring off again?
Getting the ring off is something that, it's so interesting actually, it's something I'm trying to research at the moment because I've had a lot of men not struggle with this at all. The advice that is given by the manufacturer, and so works for most men, is you squeeze the penis, so gently squeeze and do give it some time in order for the blood to just slowly work its way back into the body, and then there'll just be a moment where enough's back in that you can do it. Because I know it seems like from a physics perspective this shouldn't work in terms of taking the ring off, but the squeeze method is the recommended one. If somebody is struggling with the squeeze method, take this into the shower, warm water, or even just lots of lubricant. Often it is just give it time. But it's interesting because, quite frankly, there is a subsect of men where I'm still working with them trying to figure out how to, they are struggling a bit with getting the ring off. In that circumstance, sometimes it is that if you're relying just on a very, very tight ring, sometimes actually just using a slightly larger ring, but then combining another method, for example, a PDE5 inhibitor, say that's giving you even just like a little boost, like a 10% erection, that could be enough.
That will then just wear off and then you can
wear off over time. Yeah. Or even using the pump beforehand, before using an injection, so then the two together. I often talk about an erection recipe.
Yeah.
Because actually it's rare that it often is just one intervention that will totally work. Sometimes it is that case. But again, that's where MacGyvering comes in. Say the pump gets you to sort of 70%, but then using a vibrator on top just gives that little bit of a jolt so that you get even more hardness. Because also the erection created from a pump, especially early days, will not be very, it won't be similar to a natural erection. Yeah. It usually hangs down. It might be quite big, but not the same kind of stiffness. Mm-hmm. And there won't be stiffness on the internal erection part. So yeah, that's there's so many.
There's so many different things and you can mix and match a little bit. Yeah.
That's it. Yes.
But I think one thing to address, Declan, is the financial constraints, because, you know, a lot of these things are expensive for patients. Even PDE5 inhibitors are expensive. And so I think all the more important that you do your research to find out what works for you, so that you're not trying a million different things and finding
and
that
that's
none
why
of them work.
Just buying the expensive one often doesn't work, because it's not going to be right for you and you really haven't got that knowledge about the rings. Here's the thing, Victoria, the patients often say to me is, yeah, no, I the pump works well and I've watched all the videos and I got the rings. And it, often you will support them by giving them advice subsequently about, oh, try this, try that. They really appreciate that, but they'll say it's kind of frustrating because I can see the thing in the pump, but then as soon as I take it off, it goes away very quickly. So what I say to patients, I'm not sure do you agree about this, is especially in the early few months, well, when we don't really expect to see much recovery in a patient who might subsequently have a great recovery, actually, but early months not much. But the pump is, if you take away from I'm using it to try and have an erection, to have rigidity or masturbation or whatever it'll be, and instead you think it's like exercise, you say going for a jog. So I'll often say to them, you know, use it in the morning while you're listening to a podcast, or, you know, brushing your teeth, you're in the bathroom, blow it up for a few minutes and it'll be good. And then you're listening to your sports podcast or whatever, take it off, have a shower, go to work, you know, and then they're very fulfilled and you've achieved the stretching and a little bit of blood flow, and the patient also feels good having seen it. Is that a way in which you think about it? Is that what you mean by going for a jog rather than, you know, getting involved with trying to have sexual activity with the subsequently engorged penis? Because it's often a bit disappointing because it doesn't stay up very well some of the time.
Absolutely, Declan. That's the thing. At the foundation, you can just think of this as it's exercise especially early days. Yeah. Exercise, Dan, that's part of it, is actually just how the same as creating any exercise routine for your body. How am I going to fit this into my daily routine? So I think that's great to actually give ideas on, okay, well, what do you already do in your routine? Is it brush your teeth? Pump at the same time. So the thing that's great about this is once you create a seal against the body, while a lot of men still need to do two-handed, I've had men say they've mastered this to the point where they can actually use it just one-handed. I've got a man who walks around the house, makes a cup of tea, does his whole morning routine, and he's got the pump there. And that's the thing, it's normalised us. It's a piece of rehabilitation equipment.
Yeah.
What's also great, though, is especially you get sort of the 10 rings, so you can, over time, try different sizes. And that's the thing, Declan. Men who are saying, oh, I take the pump off and it's disappointing because it immediately deflates. In that circumstance, it's all to do with the ring size. It's all to do with that. It's getting the right tightness. And I've even had men who will double up on rings. They'll buy a separate set of penis rings or cock rings, is what you'd need to probably type into Google to get a lot of information on that, and actually put a ring over the top of the vacuum ring in order to really maintain the erection. Or a lot of pumps out there, and that's why it's good to even ask if a patient says they're struggling with a pump, ask them, what kind of pump do you have? Did it come with rings? A lot of them still don't. Because a lot of them, they haven't actually been designed specifically for this version of erectile dysfunction. They've been designed just to offer a little bit of an oomph, essentially, just to bring a little bit more blood flow in, so there's more of a more girth, more length in the moment. Like, oh, that's really fun. Not for it's act. We actually are depending on this device to keep the erection up. So I say, it's like, it's quite a cool piece of equipment, because on the one hand, look, it's exercise every day regardless, but what you do have available to you, with possibly a bit of MacGyvering, and it can change over time, I find, as men say they've regained some erectile function, even if they get to that sort of 50% point, then actually the use of the pump and a ring can be extraordinary because they've got some of that inner stiffness. I'd say very early days, if what's important to somebody is as natural an erection as possible of what they were used to, honestly, try injections. And again, even within injections, and everybody winces when they first hear injections, of course, we've got to be very sensitive around that. Who wants to inject their genitals? But there is some amazing, again, a lot of MacGyvering, like an auto-injector, so you don't see the injection. Working with an injection specialist, I've noticed with men, is the game changer when they have somebody they can go back to and keep tweaking the formula.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And look, we're going to do injections separately because it's not one of the key tools, but it's quite a medical thing. We need to be taught how to do anything. But what we want to talk to you before we finish up on it is all the other great toys. So I want to know what else is in that.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
What else is in your goodie bag?
I had a patient of mine, he's a patient of yours as well, in recently, raving on about, I think he called it the Octopussy male vibrator. Did I get that right, or have I mangled it?
It would be the Pulse by Octopus, and it has two S's at the end, that brand name. Yes. The Pulse is amazing.
Well done, Dendon.
It was not. So he couldn't stop talking about it, and he was showing me photos and videos and all sorts of stuff. Here's another thing patients often say is, I wish I met Victoria and a touchy subject long before I needed a prostate. And all this stuff really applies to, you know, general sexuality.
Well, I think
solo,
that's the
male,
key,
gay,
isn't it?
Everything. The whole thing.
Even if a man is not interested in sexual activity at the moment, I think this is it presents an opportunity to explore your sexuality, see what you like and don't like. And, you know, it's there's a great world out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Lean in there. See what else is in that suitcase.
Yeah, she has to open it first.
Really?
Let's see, Victoria.
I know, it looks like a Paddington Bear bag, but it's not full of marmalade.
Oh, goodness.
Let's see.
Victoria, the other thing while you're pulling your tricks out is, especially patients who've had either prostate cancer surgery or radiation, they often feel that incontinence gets in the way of sexual activity. What is your advice to those patients?
I have a long webinar that they can watch through my YouTube channel with, I'd say, one of the leading experts in this, Dr. Jo Milios.
Oh, yeah.
She discusses different strategies specifically for arousal incontinence and climacteria, so when incontinence is presenting, when aroused or upon orgasm. Because, of course, people can...
Absolutely.
I think the first thing to make clear is that it's not unhygienic.
Yeah.
You know, urinosterile. And that a lot of men do experience that, especially early days. I think most of what the literature is saying is that it clears up, hopefully over time, with pelvic floor exercise, of course, is your go-to.
Jo is a physiotherapist, isn't she?
Indeed,
yeah, so she's really across this. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And she has one specific activity called the nuts to guts approach, a method of pelvic floor or Kegel exercises that she's found to be particularly helpful for men who are struggling with their incontinence. And I really recommend people go and sort of follow along with that video.
Yeah. And I think that's an important message to get across, is incontinence shouldn't hold a man back from, you know, looking into erectile dysfunction.
Absolutely. And I hear that often from men in my audience saying, oh, I've been recommending your resources. I'm just going to get on top of the incontinence first. Then I'm going to look at erectile function. Well, something I love to make clear at that point is that's fantastic that you're looking into incontinence, because you'll be doing pelvic floor exercises, which, little do you know, actually will influence your erectile function.
Yeah.
And that's often really surprising for people to hear. And something I recommend is when men even get incontinence back, keep still doing your Kegels, because that can even help with orgasm strengthening as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's got something else out.
What is it? Let's see.
So this device here is the Manta by Fun Factory. So Fun Factory, an incredible German sex toy company. I don't know why when I say it's a German sex toy company, people immediately can understand this. Like the engineering and the design, this is absolutely extraordinary. It's got a fun button to turn it on.
Wow.
And that's actually on right now.
Right.
You can hear that ever so slightly, but it's not a jet engine taking off. Yeah. I think that's the thing. People who've approached the sex toy industry about 10 to 15 years ago, I still have that in their heads of these huge purple phallic objects that sound like jet engines taking off, and they're thinking, not in my house with the kids still living at home.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're a lot more discreet, and they're just getting better and better with their design, their aesthetic.
So what do you do with it? You have to watch this. This is confused, simple man over here wondering, where does that go?
Thank you, Declan. Yes, it looks great, Victoria. Where do I put it? What is this? So the Manta here is designed to be it's a male masturbator that couples can use together as well. So it has these two soft silicone flaps. Anybody who actually can't see this, sort of imagine a pair of, I've collected so many words for this from men in my audience. One that I like is, it's like a pair of stretchy barbecue tongs. So you can encircle the penis with a lot of lubricant that can then be a stroker, so move up and down. What I would recommend for men in the audience, though, especially if they want to really work on regaining orgasm, if they've experienced loss of sensation orgasm, is to envelop the sleeves just around the frenulum, around the underside of the head of the penis, hold it there, and you can apply as much pressure as you want because it is flexible, and to actually move that into their daily rehabilitation, even just for 4 weeks, just to see what does that experience like? Does it help actually sort of reconnect the mind-body? Do they enjoy the sensation? Yes. You know, does it change function? Yeah.
And does that get through airport security, Victoria?
Yes, actually, this one does. This one comes with a travel lock.
Oh, there you go.
So you can make sure it doesn't go off in your hand.
Save the batteries.
You yeah. Obviously, one thing I'd say about traveling with sex toys is just always make sure the country you are going to, that it is legal. There are still some countries, I think still Indonesia, it's illegal to take sex toys into the country. So yeah, that's the one thing to know. But honestly, I actually, when I was working at Passion Fruit, somebody walked into shop and looked very at home. They walked around going, just going, yes, 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 out loud to all the toys. And I thought, gosh, you've got a good collection. And they said, oh no, I work at airport security. I've seen all of these.
Oh, wow.
And she actually said, she reckons it's every other hand luggage bag.
Oh, really?
So, and that's the thing. We're sexual beings.
It's so common, isn't it?
It's so common. But because we don't talk about it like we talk about going to the shops and getting a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk about more than just that. That's quite boring conversation. Yeah. But, you know, it's not, we don't talk about it like it's the weather. So it hasn't become this normalized, neutral subject that we're all aware that, you know, I don't want to say everybody. Some people there don't have a sexual life, and that's absolutely fine as well. That's still their sexuality. But everybody has a sexual identity.
Yeah.
So it's realizing, actually, yeah, look, you're not the only one who is experiencing. I'd say this as well. Men out there who feel like, oh, it's just my sex life. This shouldn't be affecting me this much. Because so many men have a really rough time with their mental health and the emotional impact from the loss of sexual function. It's all so intertwined. And it is that we're all in this together.
Absolutely. On that note, Victoria, you know, what about...
Pass it around the audience.
Have a fiddle with it, Declan. What about men who are in sexual minorities? I think this must be a very isolating thing for these men, you know, in particular gay men, those who like anal intercourse, anal receptive intercourse. You know, the prostate is a very sexual organ for these men. What happens when they lose the prostate?
That's a great question, Renu. And that's so interesting where I think, we talked about this just before, how language and assumptions when you're speaking to somebody are so important. So even actually the word man, there are trans women, they identify as women, but they have a prostate and they will go through prostate cancer surgery.
Exactly.
And it's, again, a minority where the clinical literature is lacking. What we have is clinical literature just saying that it is an area that's lacking. I have seen amazing, some of the prostate cancer foundations have now come up with quite amazing PDFs and booklets, and there's more support groups on Facebook and in person that are showing up that are for people who identify, even just like men who have sex with men, who may not even identify as gay or bisexual,
Absolutely.
But they have sex with men. Again, that will have a different sort of impact on their sexuality. And I think the first key thing is, we just can't make any assumptions at all.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know,
and it's still coming back to that same approach of, okay, all that matters is what is important to you with your sexuality. You know, what are you missing? What are you looking? Yeah, what do you want to work on?
Yeah,
and then think a lot of it is thinking outside the box,
Absolutely.
Or thinking outside the anus, in order to, or thinking inside the anus. Even actually, I've got had an amazing video series recently with a sexological body worker called Lorraine Pentello on my YouTube channel, where she's been working with men who are post prostate surgery. So the prostate's been removed, and she's been doing scar tissue remedial touch on that prostate area in order to help them experience full body orgasms. These are men who weren't experiencing orgasms at all.
Wow.
And quite amazing. Quite amazing. So to get it's having that an open-minded approach and just working with what is important to the person, sitting in front of you.
Renu, I think we don't get any experience of speaking to patients like that when we're doing medical training. And I don't think doctors and nurses, certainly doctors, are very comfortable talking about that.
Absolutely. I think this is the thing. There's discomfort on the part of the patient, but there is a lot of discomfort on the part of the healthcare worker. And that really hinders this relationship. And not everyone can go and see Victoria.
Yeah.
So I think the resources that Victoria's pointed out is so important that we're aware of it and we can refer our patients.
A piece about that. Let's talk about that a bit more with more experts like
Absolutely. This. You do amazing things, Victoria.
So what else? Anything else before we wrap up?
He's asking, is there anything else in your goodie bag?
Any more toys?
Do you know, I'll show you just one thing that can be, it's so simple, but can be an absolute game changer. Yeah. And in a way, if somebody's feeling trepidatious about beginning with any sort of sexual product, just improve the quality of your lubricant or bring a really good quality lubricant into the picture. So there's a lubricant that I love recommending called
Uber Lube. I remember
Uber Lube.
She gave it to me for Christmas one year. Would you believe that? That's how long we go back. I turned up in the office one day and there was a little Christmas gift from Victoria. I was like, "Oh, that's lovely." And there was,
I'm a good person to be friends with. Yes, invite me to your dinner parties. Yeah, I've got a good conversation. So this is Uber Lube here again.
Looks like a bottle of perfume.
Well, that's it. I don't want to go on and on about the aesthetics when you know. But where do we put this? But it's a lubricant that's pleasure first. It's been designed to actually enhance a pleasure experience, not just for function. Yeah. I think a lot of people think of lubricant still as, well, that's something to replace wetness, rather than that's there to enhance what we're already enjoying.
Yeah.
And as a thing, if you can bring something in and realize like, ooh, actually even just this simple, really simple intervention, it can just sit on the bedside table. It does look like a bottle of perfume.
Yeah. Slippery, isn't it?
Quite slippery, but it's also long lasting. So anybody out there who's experienced more of your KY jelly or more water-based lubricant, which is typically what you get from a supermarket, and it's thought like, oh, it just gets a bit gloopy and dry after a while, a silicone-based lubricant doesn't get dry. It'll just keep going.
Well, see, it can be as simple as some lube, or it can be as fun as a vibrator.
And both, you know, and exactly. Both. And I think the lube thing is really, really important. Because, you know, if men have gone from a situation of having pretty good spontaneous erections, you know, and they've got through their surgery, and they want to do their best to get back towards, and as I say, it's a journey, so maybe we're getting going with PDE5 inhibitors, a vacuum erection device, injections eventually. But there's a lot of masturbation and a lot of mutual masturbation, foreplay involved. But if you're not getting the erections, I think the lube is incredibly important, because patients will say, okay, fine, it's quite uncomfortable for me. I said, well, are you using a lube? And often that's the solution. They'll come, and I'll refer them to your website, because you've got a list of all these things. You can get a lot of these toys and lubes and stuff through A Touchy Subject. But it's sometimes, that's the thing that made all the difference. Now we quite enjoy this again. I'm still not getting the erections back great yet, but we actually really enjoy. I get orgasm.
Yes.
It takes me by surprise. I'm getting a really quite intense orgasm, men will often say, very soon after their major surgery without rigidity. And they say, it catches me by surprise. I didn't, but it wasn't unpleasurable. In fact, it was quite intense.
Yeah.
But I think the lube is key to it. So, yeah.
And good quality lube. Like, you know, not something like, you know, KY is fine, but this is, you know, it feels like an essential oil.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right? And it's realizing, gosh, even within this one category, not all lubes made the same.
Yeah.
So many things you can try. And I think it brings an element of play when you realize, like, oh, there's a bit of a fun little suitcase of options out there to try. And it can, open the mind. And like you said, Declan, isn't it awesome when somebody just can have a win? You know, early on, if there is the erectile function isn't there, and that is a huge shock, it's a grieving process, you know, even if it does come back, there's this immediate loss. But at least embracing, well, you know, your pleasure actually might be enhanced.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, and you can work on that. And again, it's still something that will tie in to erectile function, because you need some arousal to get that phone call going.
Absolutely.
The brain, I keep saying the phone call, so the brain's one
absolutely
of our largest sex organs, so got to keep engaging that.
Fantastic.
Wow. That was fantastic.
Yeah, we could talk forever, but...
Yeah, at touchysubject.com. We could have gone forever.
Touchysubject.com.
She's such a great communicator.
She's no stranger to podcasting and content creation.
Yeah, so look, please, if you do nothing else when you get home or whatever, go to touchysubject.com and sign up for the emails, because they're great.
Absolutely.
And direct your patients there. If you're not a patient yourself, go and have a look at A Touchy Subject. It's a great resource, and learn about...
We're so grateful that you got that job at the sex shop.
Yeah.
Look what it's led to.
Yeah. It's still like a second home to me. I love it there.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Victoria, and amazing work that you do.
Yeah, great. So look, that's all we have time for, but we were chatting beforehand, weren't we, about going on a similar theme for a few other upcoming podcasts. So Renew has come back with some really good ideas about how we can dive into this area a bit more. Yes, we talk about oncology and survival and drugs and surgery and radiotherapy a lot in this podcast, but we know there are a lot of patients out there, so we want to...
And there's some great literature out there. Yeah. I think we just have to bridge that gap between what we know and what we communicate to patients.
And we often get a lot of direct feedback from patients, and thank you, we love hearing from you. But, you know, most of our audience, I think, are still clinicians, so we want them to be educated about this so
definitely
we can help the patients. And I've certainly really benefited. I know my patients have from me learning more from you over the years, Victoria, so I'm very grateful.
Can I actually just add, I do have a specific free resource email sequence that's for healthcare professionals that's on my website.
Oh, yeah.
For healthcare professionals listening who are wondering, well, actually, what is an easy bite-sized way for me to begin. And that has also PDF flyers they can print out for to help have a really good communication with their patients.
So that's awesome. That too. Even
that's
better.
Great. Yeah, there's a health professionals tab, isn't there?
Check it out.
Super. I think that's all we got time for, Renu. That was fun, wasn't it?
It was really fun.
Yep. So we'll be back again soon. We may post your ASCO GU highlights sometime next week as well. And we got a whole sequence of busy events coming up soon. Stay tuned, subscribe, like, all that usual stuff that Victoria's an expert at telling us to do.
Check out the video show and tell.
Check out the show and tell, and we'll be back again soon with some more great GU casting.